The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-010.
Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is the preview show for championship weekend. That is exciting. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell hanging out with you guys on a Friday. Lot to get excited for, not just championship weekend or week one of a two-week championship weekend, but of course we are just days away from the holidays as well. You can tell by our festive garland decorated desk right here in front of us. How are you guys today? Good?
Festive. I'm festive. I'm excited. So this is our, I'm a little melancholy. I'll tell you why. So first off, it's exciting, right? It's championship week. You know, we're all playing in finals. It's exciting. Good luck to all of us. And as you mentioned, the holidays are right around the corner. My daughters get to visit Santa tomorrow. So we're excited about that. But, this is our last Friday show.
Yeah.
This is our last Friday show of the season, guys.
That's right. So just a programming.
Why do you think?
Tear.
Yeah. I'm beaming.
You should not be smiling.
Not because of the show ending, but because, you know,
it's
pretty soon I get a little space from, you know.
It's a little reprieve, reprieve for Stefania. Next Friday, we'll have a show. So hopefully those of you that are playing in a two-week final will tune in to Monday's show. And then, let's be honest, if you've made it to your championship matchup, there's a chance you already know what you're doing. So hopefully you can fend for yourself, but there will be a fantasy football now next Sunday, which will answer a lot of the questions that you would have otherwise had.
There will be rankings. There will be a love-hate. There'll be episodes of the fantasy show on ESPN+. There'll be plenty of
social media interactions.
Yes.
A lot of content.
To solve your Week 17 needs, but here in the 06-010, we are back on Monday, and then we are back the following Monday at 7 p.m.
Yes.
Live, if you want to watch us on Twitter, at Fantasy Focus, where we will do our end-of-the-year award show and wrap-up.
Ooh, I wonder what I'm going to get.
Ooh. What kind of awards will Stefania get? You'll have to tune in on Monday.
I have a couple of suggestions.
December 30th to find out. In the meantime, we got plenty of football to get to, so let's do it.
Rewind.
Fantasy news
from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Major injuries this week include that to Daniel Dopp, who's under the weather, which means Jackson's holding down the board today in Daniel's place.
To be clear, the board itself is in good shape. I don't want anyone to think that we work for such a rinky-dink company that, like, he's actually having to hold down the board.
Oh.
That he's actually...
Glad you clarified that.
No. Certainly so Jackson is acting as our producer today. Jackson is running the board.
The show.
Like, when
Got
we
it.
Call for a drop, he's the one that will push the buttons and okay. everything like that. But
Got it.
Secret Squirrel is sick squirrel today. He is
Do you think he's at home. We're going to have a Wally Pip moment? Could that happen?
It's 100%.
It's definitely within the realm of possibilities.
Realm of possibilities. I mean, we got two shows left, like...
Three, yeah. This is important. I think it could happen for you, Jackson. You got to push through today. Two more after this. Sorry.
Yeah, two more of that.
I'm here for a playoff push.
That's right. Jackson is here. He might be the Mike Boone of our Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, which will make more sense in just a few minutes. But first, so on Monday's podcast, maybe it was Tuesday, excuse me, Matthew and I, I will sort of put this on my shoulders, were rather dismissive of the finger issue that Dak Prescott was dealing with, because we said, listen, this took place prior to the Rams game, and he looked no worse for the wear for the Rams game. Well, then it was brought to our attention that it's not the finger issue we have to worry about right now. It's a shoulder issue, which Dr. Ezekiel Elliott described as an AC sprain, Stefania. So that might be what it's called, but people want to know, how serious is this?
Well, listen, Dak's injuries are getting exposed by people other than himself.
Yeah.
We heard Troy Aikman say on the broadcast that he had a hairline fracture, and there was some question as to whether that was really true in his finger. And then, as you mentioned, Zeke Elliott sharing with us that he had an AC sprain. And usually when players are coming up with that lingo, good chance that it's pretty accurate. He heard that from someone somewhere. And the issue...
Maybe Stefania Bell. Maybe he's a closet conehead.
Could be. Could be.
That's what we call the fans of the Coneheads.
Classic Conehead?
The Coneheads.
That's good.
You know,
that's what I didn't
know that. That was a thing once in the 70s, but okay.
Saying a thing.
So anyway, with the AC sprains, we've seen this. Like, look, James Conner had an AC sprain. Look what it's done to him.
Oh, yeah.
So there are two problems. One is if you're a guy who's taking contact. Another is if you're a guy who has to throw the ball and bring your arm into that overhead motion, which stresses that joint every single time you throw. Now, if it's a low grade enough one, it's not a huge issue for him, then he should be able to throw effectively. We don't really know because he hasn't been throwing yet.
Yeah.
He has come out and said,
not even tennis balls.
I will be not even tennis balls like our friend Jameis Winston.
Exactly.
To practice. But he has said he'll be good to go by Sunday. It really is, with this kind of injury, the best thing for him is rest and just not to stress it until he has to. But the question will remain, how accurate can he be? Is it going to be a problem if he, especially if he gets sacked, he goes down on the shoulder during the course of the game? Will it affect him as the game progresses? Those are the things you're not going to be able to answer ahead of time.
And I thought this was interesting. I don't know if you guys saw this tweet. So Clarence Hill Jr., who does a great job covering the Cowboys and has for years, he tweeted this out. Amari Cooper, to me, said he figured something was wrong with Dak Prescott during the Rams game because he told Michael Gallup that he wasn't going to throw the RPO, no matter what the read was. Cooper, quote, that is not like Dak, so I knew something was up. So think about that for a second. Like, in essence, basically, Dak is saying, I don't care if Gallup's open. I'm handing this off, like, or I'm going to run the ball. Like, I'm not going to run the play as designed because of how I feel physically. And so, look, the matchup on paper is great, but I would be lying, Field, if I said I wasn't concerned here. Obviously, you hear what Stefania says. You hear what some of the players are saying. And this is a December game on the road at Philadelphia. Dak has this year been worse on the road than he has been at home. And this is a gut call, but I think the Eagles show up in this one.
Well,
I mean, like in a big, right. Like defensively is what I mean. It's because their secondary certainly struggled this year. But I think NFC East game, the division is basically on the line. It's between these two teams. I think the Eagles show up, and I feel like, you know, the over-under in this game is 46. Like, I could see this being a game that goes under. This feels like a little bit more of a slugfest than a shoot-em-out to
me. All right. So we all...
Again, that's a gut call.
We all recognize there's some concern here with Dak. What we all do believe, though, is he's going to play on Sunday. He said it, and the Cowboys have said as much. So the question, I think, becomes, under what circumstances are you sitting Dak Prescott, or are you? And if you are, who's an available quarterback that you are grabbing right now to play? I have a name that comes to mind for me.
Hey, what do you got?
Ryan Fitzpatrick has got 20-plus points in three of his last four games, and they play the Bengals on Sunday. The game is in Miami. Don't have a lot of fear about that being a low-scoring game, at least not personally.
Here's a question on that, though. Potentially some very bad weather that is coming. There's like a tropical storm that's coming in, that's supposedly coming in Saturday night to the South Florida area.
Fine, okay.
So I'm asking. We don't know yet.
So
it's Friday
about,
morning that we're
less
doing
about
this.
Fitz and more about Dak, though.
Correct.
So my question is, are you sitting Dak Prescott?
I think it depends on what options you have. Like, I'm in the War Room League final against Scott Clark. I'm very scared that I'm going to get Scott Clarked by
you
Scott Clark.
You very well could.
He's got the better
team. All biz has been a bridesmaid, never a bride. And
that's correct.
He's coming up on...
He's right. And by the way, he's got the better team.
His chance to win.
He's got the better team. He's got the better matchups. Like, I have a plucky little team, but Scott's done a nice job this year. He's got a decision between Dak Prescott and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
If you were Scott Clark, what would you do? He's watching right now, I bet.
I will play Dak.
There you go.
Yeah, I play Dak. I think Dak's going to be just fine. I'm not going to move him too much in my rankings.
Yeah, I think where it might affect me more is I'm a little concerned about Michael Gallup. I might be concerned about the deep passes. I think Dak, one of the things, if you're Philly and you're looking at the more you hit this guy, the more problematic it becomes. I sense a lot of pressure. So you think of, how can he get rid of the ball quickly? That might be a big Zeke Elliott game.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a big short intermediate passing game as opposed to deep passing game.
I mean, listen, you paid this guy $90 million, right? If ever there was a time to ride him.
There's sort of a chicken and egg thing going on last week, because last Sunday was the highest percentage of run calls in a game by the Cowboys since Jason Garrett became the head coach. So if you take the number of runs they had relative to the total number of plays, I think it was like 65.5%. That was the most run heavy they've ever been in a game since Jason Garrett became the coach. That was in 2010. It's been a long time now. The question is, do they do that because of the finger injury plus the shoulder injury, or was it because they were running the football so effectively that they figured if some is good, more is better? I'm keeping Dak in my lineup under some pretty unique circumstances. I might look for someone like Ryan Tannehill, who is available in like a third of leagues, for example. But other than that...
By the way, I take that back, actually. Scott Clark has Ryan Tannehill, not Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
He has Ryan Tannehill. It's his decision.
Yeah.
So he's got Dak and Tannehill. I mean, I'll tell you, look, I have, according to my current ranks, I want to see what happens today in practice, but as we tape this Friday morning. But, I mean, I currently have Dak at 7. I'm the lowest on him among all of us, so I'm a little bit concerned. But I still have him as a top 10 play. I have Tannehill at 9.
Yeah, I play Tannehill in that case if you're nervous.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're nervous, like, so we have, you know, I'm just looking at sort of who I have that might be available on your waiver wire that's sort of in the mix. Like Kyler Murray, if there's a chance you
probably
had
not
Dak.
Available.
Huh?
Probably not.
No, he's not available. I'm just saying, like, if you had that decision between Dak or Tannehill, Dak or Kyler
Murray.
Yeah,
it'd have to be somebody like Mitch Trubisky, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Jacoby Brissett at home against Carolina, if you're
those
feeling.
Those would be the kind of
names. You know, he had a bad game last week, but yeah.
Again, wouldn't go too crazy.
I'm with you.
Here,
I think
championship week.
Yeah, unless you had a really good option, I think you're likely starting Dak and hoping for the best. But certainly, as it comes to daily fantasy or just the other pass catchers on Dallas, there's some concern here where earlier in the week we didn't think there was.
Let's move things forward here. The Vikings play on Monday night, which complicates matters because it's not just Sunday games you're deciding upon. It's also Saturday games with three of those. But what do we know about both Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison, Stefania?
It's really tricky up in Minnesota, and I think they like it that way. I think they like the fact that they don't have to announce all of this just yet. Now, Dalvin Cook came out of last week's game with a shoulder injury. This is a new shoulder injury, different than what he had been listed on the injury report from multiple weeks before was. And we've already seen reporting from Adam Schefter and Courtney Cronin together that Dalvin Cook is likely out. The expectation is that he will be out this week and potentially next week as well as they try to get him healthy for a potential playoff push.
Yeah.
So you're already planning on no Dalvin Cook. Alexander Mattison had an ankle injury that kept him out of last week's game. They have been very short on the specifics, but if you follow Courtney Cronin, who covers the Vikings for us, and you absolutely should because her detail in this area is phenomenal. She's observing what's happening at practice, and what she saw yesterday was Dalvin Cook is up there taking mental reps with the running backs, and Alexander Madison's not even in the picture, working completely to the side, really not doing much of anything, so not a chance to assess the mobility that he has. Now, after practice, Mike Zimmer said, he's got a really good chance to go. But I know the feeling up there is a little less confident. And if he doesn't go, then Mike Boone becomes the clear guy.
So I think let's focus in on that Boone scenario. Because if Madison plays, I think we're all in agreement. Like, he's the running back that you have to play. And you feel pretty good about him because he's a talented guy that has done well when given the opportunity so far.
I would just say I'm a little nervous. I actually hope that they make this a clear-cut decision because if Madison goes, and he doesn't practice until Saturday, I'm going to be nervous about him. We have seen the Vikings play guys who have not been 100%, and sometimes that doesn't end well.
Okay, so then hopefully this decision is made for us. And if it is, and Mike Boone is the guy, Matthew, he's still available in a bunch of leagues, top 15, top 18,
I mean,
top 20.
I am at 16.
Yeah.
I am at 16. So easy top 20 play, borderline top 15. And somebody that I think should be started with confidence. You feel good about what this Minnesota Vikings offense has done with their running game. Mike Boone, by the way, Mike Boone is a guy that a lot of people who observed the Vikings in the preseason felt like should be the backup to Dalvin Cook. Like, Mike Boone had a very impressive preseason. So did Alexander Mattison. Ultimately, the coaches decided to go with Mattison over Boone. But
Which is the right call,
right,
by the way.
But I don't want people to think like Boone's just a guy. Like, I think there's legit talent with Mike Boone, and I certainly think given this offense and given the matchup with the Green Bay Packers, who are middle of the pack in terms of run defense, they're 15th against the run over the last 4 weeks. My expectation, this is such a run heavy game, and it's such a run heavy offense, and the running is so important for Kirk Cousins, who's so good off play action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some Mike Boone on Monday night if we know before we get there that he's going to be the guy.
Potential Boone or bust play. It's one of our directors fed that in.
But I'm bum.
From the video room. Moving along here, Josh Jacobs has already been declared out.
Are you ready to lower the Boone? That here comes the boon.
Stefania, are you going to boondoggle on Monday night?
That's right. Are we going to boondoggle on Monday night?
Boondoggle.
Ring the bell. Boondoggle on Monday night.
I would be boondoggling on Monday night field days with the winner.
There you go.
Josh Jacobs is out on Sunday. That much we already know, Stefania. No, not a lot of theater here involved.
No, there isn't. But you know what? A couple points. Like, just for people who are wondering, Josh Jacobs was still in so much pain, and you probably all heard it by now, but just trouble getting out of his shoulder pads after the game. So despite his best effort at getting out there and playing for his team, he could not really overcome this injury, which is serious enough that my expectation is we won't see him again the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's got a chance to become just the second player in franchise history to win the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. But not this weekend, because it will instead be DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard. And Matthew, we learned a couple of weeks ago that Washington can be the guy in this backfield when Jacob sits.
20 touches for 96 yards and a touchdown. He was running back 9 in week 14 against the Tennessee Titans when Jacobs was out again. I think what was impressive in that particular game was how much he was used in the passing game. Right. I think there was the expectation is, all right, DeAndre Washington is going to be the first and second down back, and then Jalen Richard will be the passing down back. But then you look at how the game played out, and actually DeAndre Washington was more involved in the passing game than Jalen Richard. He proved he could be a true three-down back. He was impressive in that game. And in fact, DeAndre Washington has six career games with 12 or more touches. In those games, he's averaging 15.7 fantasy points per game. He averages 72 scrimmage yards per game. He's got 5 touchdowns in those 6 games. You're not particularly scared of the Chargers, who are top 10 in terms of most fantasy points allowed via the pass to running backs. And so, and they're they're a good run defense. They're not a great run defense. And so I think, is DeAndre Washington super efficient in this game? Probably not. But in a game in which we don't think the Chargers blow out the Raiders, I mean, listen, it's Chargers-Raiders. Who knows? You never know. But my expectation here is that DeAndre Washington gets enough work, especially given this passing game involvement, that he's a top 20 play this week.
Looking forward to that game on Sunday. Some weird stuff happens when you put Phillip Rivers on a football field. T.J. Chark, the Jaguars go to Atlanta on Sunday. Gardner Minshew has been awesome on the road so far this year, Stefania. It would help if he had his best wide receiver.
It would, and I think he's trending towards playing. I'm a little concerned. I mean, let's go back to when DJ Chark injured his ankle. After the game, in a boot, on a scooter.
Yeah.
The scooter doesn't usually come out unless you're really worried about a guy putting weight on it, because if they're in a boot and on crutches, the idea is, they can set their foot down. They may touch it to the ground. You put guys on scooters when you don't want them to have any chance of putting weight through the foot. Now, it could have been exceptionally precautionary in that we don't have all the imaging we want yet, so we want to make sure that he's not weight-bearing until we get more answers. But to go from that and out, we were talking about, whoa, is this going to be the end of his season, to he misses one game and then this week he's going to be at 100%, I don't know if I buy that. He's been limited practice this week. It sounds like they think he'll be available to play. I just don't know how healthy a DJ Chark is, even if he plays.
Okay. Well, Matthew, if he does play, understanding that Stefania says she doesn't know how healthy he will be, how do you approach this one? If he plays, you play him?
I think it depends on your options, unfortunately. Like, I actually had him as a top 10 play until I just heard Stefania. Like, after the show, I'm going to have to lower in my ranks. Because when Stefania says she's nervous like that, that makes me nervous.
Let me interrupt you for one sec, because it's always predicated on what happens on Friday, right?
Yeah,
if all of a sudden he upgrades to a full practice and it feels like we're getting word from people who are watching, he was out running around, he looked good, et cetera, then I feel better, more confident. Haven't seen that yet, but we don't know what Friday holds. And so I would say just make sure you pay close attention to what he does late.
Right. Okay. So so it's two scenarios, right? If he practices in full and Stefania sort of says, all right, I feel a lot better, then I think he's a top 10 play. My expectation here is that the Falcons score quite a bit on the Jaguars. The Jaguars defense is sort of like they're already on the beach, right? And so, I have Matt Ryan as a top 6 play this week. And so they're going to have to throw, and I think they'll be successful. The Falcons are a bottom 10 pass defense over the last 4 weeks. They're a bottom 10 scoring defense over the last 4 weeks. They're a bottom 10 defense this year in terms of most yards per deep completion. So, you know, DJ Chark can get deep, obviously. And so, in a game that has, potential track meet feel to it, you know, two decent offenses, two bad defenses. My expectation here is that if Chark is fully healthy, he's a top 10 play. If he goes through another limited practice again today and Stefania's still like, not out of the woods yet, then I think he's kind of a, then I think he's sort of a borderline top 20 guy, and I think it depends on who else you have. My concern there would be also, you know, that maybe Dede Westbrook or Chris Conley, somebody will have a big game here, but I think it'll be hard to figure out who it'll be if Chark is active but not 100% healthy. Do you have a feel for this?
My feel is comparable to what you just said. Yeah, I mean, I have him ranked number 9 right now, assuming he is a full participant in practice today, or at least good to go.
Yep.
Probably will do the same thing to adjust a little bit if he is unable to complete a full practice today. And one more here.
Another reason to mention, Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, ESPN2, Fields, Stefania, myself, Will Kane. We will have the latest on all these guys, and so
yeah,
it's always
will.
Helpful to tune in there, and we'll know more about Friday afternoon and what we've heard over the weekend, and Stefania does her digging, and anyway, you should tune in.
One more, Stefania. Saturday game, 4:15, the Patriots host the Bills. Julian Edelman missed last Wednesday's practice, and then on Sunday against the Bengals, a very nice matchup, had 2 catches for 9 yards. And all of a sudden, people's antennas are up. So this week, he's been limited all week. Questionable to play on Sunday. Do we think he's going to give it a go?
I'm a little bit more nervous about this. Go back to early in the season when he first had the rib cartilage injury. We're like, wow, he's going to try and play through this, but we know he's banged up, and we'll see. And that first week, it was a little different game for him. But then he's persevered, and he's been great. He's been great. He's been Tom Brady's top outlet. Now you go to a knee problem that seems to be impacting him a little bit, just seemed to be affecting him a little bit in last week's game. Not as many targets thrown his way. And something that could be problematic for him. If this is sort of you think about him as a veteran receiver who's had a history of an ACL and, you know, just all the mileage he's put in over time. If this is one of those more chronic tendon problems that sort of flared itself up at the end of the season, then there's a chance that it could bother him intermittently for however long the Patriots continue to play.
Matthew, you and I were talking about this before the show. As a matter of fact, you were talking about the entire crew. You've got a decision to make on Julian Edelman, and you are nervous.
I'm super nervous about it, and at the moment, I have Julian Edelman. So I'm in one of the finals that I'm in. I basically, it's a super flex league, and I basically have to choose 2 wide receivers out of these 5 for my lineup, which is, so it's Edelman, it's Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, against San Francisco. Edelman banged up against Buffalo. Rashad Perryman, who has a great matchup, but, you know, doesn't have a long, sustained success the way some of these other players do. And Michael Gallup, who's got a banged up quarterback against Philadelphia. So I have to pick 2 of those 5 for a tough matchup here. And my concern on Julian Edelman is, this is a very tough Buffalo Bills defense, right? They allow the 4th fewest fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. 3 of the past 5 games against the Bills, Edelman has been held to under 40 yards. Tom Brady, I put Tom Brady on my hate list this week, and one of the stats that I mentioned was Brady struggles against the Buffalo Bills, right? So Tom Brady, get this, in his past 5 games against Buffalo, he's averaging 9.3 fantasy points per game, right? He has 3 touchdown passes total in his past 5 against the Bills. He averages 216 passing yards against the Bills. Julian Edelman, I think, had his worst game of the season, either his worst or second worst game of the season against the Bills earlier this year. I want to say he had 30 yards receiving. Thirsty Kyle will keep me honest on
this
that.
This past weekend was his worst.
I mean, yes. So his second worst.
Yeah.
But that was in week 4, I think, something
week
like that.
Correct.
When Brady was red hot. When Edelman and the Patriots offense was red hot. And so now they sort of limp into this game. I mean, they're clearly Brady's not 100% healthy. Edelman doesn't look, he was limping around last week. I think he played the lowest snaps he'd played all season long against Cincinnati.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm super nervous about Edelman, and I would sort of say the same thing that Stefania said about DJ Chark. Like, if If Edelman shows up and is a full participant in practice today,
they're not practicing today.
Because they play tomorrow.
He's questionable.
Yeah.
Yep.
So no more time to decide on this. I think your decision, I think you play Perriman first, and then you see how that goes, and then you reassess. If he goes for 25 and a half again, you might say, okay, the comfort of Robert Woods is there. If he goes for 5.5, you might say, maybe the Michael Gallup upside is what I need in a good matchup against the Eagles.
I like that call, Field Yates.
Thank
nice
you.
Job. You should host a fantasy podcast.
Time now for some minor injuries.
Okay. And I was just going to say, but that's a decision, FYI, like you're going to have to make quickly just in that particular scenario because Edelman plays the 4 o'clock game on Saturday. So,
yeah.
So you've got the first game on Saturday is, yeah, would be 1 o'clock, the Buccaneers and the Texans. And then obviously Saturday night is the Rams and Stefania's 49ers.
Attraction.
But as I currently have my lineup, just for everyone knows, I have Edelman on my bench, and Thirsty Kyle throws this up here on the screen. Julian Edelman or Mike Boone for a flex call, knowing that we may not have Minnesota clarity ahead of time. I actually think Mike Boone.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I do as well.
I'm nervous about Julian Edelman this week.
Let's get to the minor injuries for the week, Stefania. We keep things focused on that Saturday slate to begin. Jameis Winston, the ultimate YOLO quarterback.
You know, it's like really a how lucky do you feel?
Yeah.
Because you never – Jameis Winston, do you remember last week I said as a joke, jokingly, has this fracture at the tip of his thumb. Do you think that raises the over-under, or do you think he's actually going to perform better now that he's injured? And look what happened, right? I mean, maybe that's what he needed all along was a little fracture in the tip of his thumb, adjust his grip, and all of a sudden, like, he's amazingly accurate, puts up ridiculous yardage. So he's here because he's still listed as questionable. But if he was going to play and do what he did last week, then I'm not worried about what he's going to do this week.
Yeah, I think I'm hard for me to be nervous about Jameis Winston because of his injury. The bigger question, Matthew, would just be
you're nervous about Jameis Winston because you've watched football before.
Well, I've watched football because he's got his top two wide receivers out. Mike Evans on IR. Chris Godwin's already been declared out for this game. But we are consistent on this one. We all have him ranked as our sixth quarterback for the week. Kerryon Johnson, Stefania, is eligible to play on Sunday if the Lions activate him from IR, and it seems like it's heading that direction.
It does. I mean, he's remained optimistic that he's going to play. It's really a question of if the Lions choose to use him. You know, he's been on IR because of this meniscus injury he had in his knee. He said he's been getting stronger every week with rehab. There's really not anything that we've been exposed to because, as you know, when they're on IR, they're away from view. But it does sound like he has a real shot to play this week.
Matthew, would you play Kerryon Johnson if he gets activated off IR? We all have him ranked outside of our top 30. Are you too nervous that, like, hey, he might get activated? Okay.
I'm nervous. I would not play him.
Yeah.
I agree.
Interesting ad if you play in a 2-week final. Interesting ad.
Yeah, 100%. 100% interesting ad if you play in a 2-week final, but I cannot imagine. We don't know what kind of workload he's going to get in his first game back. It's a tough matchup on the road at Denver. I mean, look, the Broncos defense has certainly struggled against the run recently. By the way, they're not the Broncos defense of old. You can run on Denver.
Sure.
Would it shock me if Kerryon Johnson gets in the end zone? No, it wouldn't be. But again, it's week 16. It's the championship. It's not a time to get cute. Like, I feel like there's just so much risk involved given the games in Denver. This Detroit offense is sort of kind of a disaster right now. And, you know, no Marvin Jones either, third string quarterback. I don't know. I have no problem picking him up and seeing what happens if you're in a 2-week playoff, but yeah, I can't imagine starting him unless I would be pretty desperate. I think I ranked him 39th. So I'm as a RB4.
Couple more here, Stefania. Juju Smith-Schuster. We know it's been a while since we've seen him on the field.
Right. When we last saw him, he suffered a concussion, which really got our attention, but he also simultaneously suffered a knee injury. And the knee injury is what has kept him out the last few weeks. We thought he had a shot to play last week, and then he said his knee just couldn't get it quite to the point where he wanted it to be for him to take the field. Improvements this week. Full participation in practice yesterday. I think it now looks like we get Juju back for the first time.
Matthew, you playing him? We all ranked him outside the top 40, so I'm taking that as a no.
I'm not.
Yeah, Juju's been a tough year for Juju. Obviously a very talented player. The Steelers' offense has just been brutal of late, though, so it's hard to trust any Steelers wide receiver.
Especially, it's the same sort of thing, again, with a, you know, like Duck Hodges has, you know, done a yeoman's job as a game manager for them.
Maybe.
Compared to what else they have. Whatever.
Still maybe.
It's just, listen, and it's a decent matchup at home against the Jets, but the answer is no. It's just, again, I always try to minimize risk. I'm minimizing risk here, and you can't tell me that Juju doesn't have
there are too
have
many
a,
other players that have more upside. A Perriman, Mike Boone, guys that are available right now that I would think people could go pluck and use on Sunday. Jordan Howard has not played since week 9, Stefania. Last I heard was status quo, but does that mean that could change between now and Sunday?
Well, I think that's the reason they keep listing him as questionable, right? Because every week he's limited, and every week it's like, well, let's see what happens when game time rolls around. But if he still has not been cleared for contact, and I ask you this every week, I mean, how do you play football if you're not cleared for contact? And I just don't see why would it happen. Maybe there's something that after they get to the end of the week, they're like, okay, I know they do a lot of performance testing there. Is there something that they're seeing? I'm not exactly sure what is making the difference for them, but there is something that they're not comfortable with the stinger injury that they are keeping him away from contact. And good for them, because if it has to do with his overall health, and these things can be very slow. Stingers, sometimes it's months before guys feel right again.
Well, not to mention that, Stefania, is like if we're talking about him being, the margin being this razor thin, if him being able to clear contact, what's to say that he does get cleared, and on the first hit he takes on Sunday,
and then all of a sudden he gets some of those symptoms back, and he's out of the game
right now. Right, so I would say that all of us feel better about fading Jordan Howard, although the decision may be made for us.
I was just going to say, is even in all that, Cowboys 8th against the run over the last 4 weeks, and Boston Scott's not going anywhere. Like, even if Jordan Howard were active, I think Boston Scott is such a weapon, and they feel like they found something in Scott. Would Scott get as many snaps if Jordan Howard were active as he has been the last couple weeks? No, but like they'll use him somewhat. Like, again, think about how much, kind of enough snaps that it would sap the value of him and Miles Sanders here. I can't imagine using Jordan Howard this week, even if he were active.
All right, last injury here, and this one kind of snuck up on us. Joe Mixon, Stefania, added to the Bengals report.
That's why I added him to our injury report, just to make everyone aware. Shows up Thursday, is limited with a calf issue. Calf issue and running back late add, things that you don't like. Now, that could be, again, there's two kinds of injuries that happen on Thursday. One is they say, you know what, that's enough reps. We're going to just cut it short because you have a little bit of soreness. Go get some treatment. We have to file this on the injury report, but they're not worried. Or something actually happens in practice where it's an acute new injury and it's a hard stop to practice and now we're worried about its status. We don't have that information yet because nobody has shared it from Cincinnati. Obviously, Friday, a big day in determining what Joe Mixon's status is.
Giovanni Bernard needs to be added. Look, they're playing Miami. We know what Giovanni Bernard has done when he gets a full workload here, Field. And by the way, especially again, if the weather concerns are legitimate, and those things always get updated, but if the weather concerns that we've heard about this game in Miami are legitimate, you could see them leaning on the run game even more, right? If it is heavy rain, you could certainly see a game in which they try to run the ball quite a bit, especially when you think about the Dolphins 21st against the run over the last 4 weeks.
So Joe Mixon, we'll keep an eye on that one on Friday. If he gets either downgraded or he stays status quo with limited, then something to keep an eye on. Stefania, before...
But if Joe Mixon is active, we're all starting Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon plays, you play him as well. He's been really, really good of late. Before we talk about Ryan Tannehill, Stefania has a word from TD Ameritrade.
I do. Hey, guys.
Hey.
That's more than one word. He said it was a word.
I have a
You're
word plus some more words.
Very literal. I'm always literal.
You know that fantasy football feeling?
I do.
When the excitement for a new week builds.
Oh, yeah.
You flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. Well, you don't have muscles, but you might have skills.
Fair.
Well, what if I told you that you could use those skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every day? TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of those same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money, Matthew.
Hey,
so you can practice trading risk-free, charting to help you spot trends in the market. And they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC.
All right, let's move things along here. Ryan Tannehill, who we were talking about earlier on in the show, our friend Tristan Cockcroft notes that Ryan Tannehill is the second most common quarterback on teams that are still playing into Week 16, which means teams that are playing for a championship, either 1 or 2 week variety. We all have him inside of our top 10. I suppose the concern would just be that the Saints are, you know, a legitimate defense. They're a defense that can certainly test you. But Tannehill is just way too hot right now to bench. I mean, you have to play Tannehill, right? If he's been your guy of late. Now, I get it. It may be that you added Ryan Tannehill to a struggling quarterback that you had elsewhere. But if he's been your guy of late, no need to get off the Ryan Tannehill gravy train right now.
Yeah, look, if you want to throw a little bit of, you know, water on this, right? Okay, so Tannehill, 17 completions per game over his last five. There hasn't been a ton of volume. You know, if you watch that game last week, he bails you out with a rushing touchdown. Like, Henry tried to get in twice, didn't, and then on third down, like, he gets the rushing touchdown, and he got you one passing touchdown. But it took a while before you got the fantasy points that you needed out of him. Saints fourth in time of possession, so how many possessions do they get in this game? It's probably not, like, kind of a high-scoring game. And the Saints defense, despite how banged up they are, Field, showed up last week. They really did, and, you know, shut down Jacoby Brissett and the entire Colts offense. All that said, there's a little bit that I feel like, you know, Monday night game, they were sort of hyped up. They wanted to get Drew the record. And so I think there's a little bit of a letdown, right? So they're now traveling on a short week to Tennessee. The game's going to be in Tennessee in a game that is a must win for the Titans.
Yep.
And my expectation here is that what they try to do is they try to say, it's like, you know what? This is what's happened. And one of the reasons why I think Tannehill's been successful this year is teams have said, we're going to stack the box. We're going to try to take Derrick Henry out of this game, and we'll take our chances with Ryan Tannehill, which, by the way, and Ryan Tannehill has made them pay, and you can stack the box as much as you want on Derrick Henry. It doesn't always work.
I mean, correct.
You
know, it has not worked all season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although Derrick Henry a little bit less explosive last week. The hamstring might be bothering him some still.
But we are in agreement, though, on Tannehill. Yeah. Like, I get it. There are some causes for concern, but he still ranks inside our top 10. He just seems to find a way, right? He's a good runner. He's been an effective vertical thrower. Touchdowns have been in their favor. I know Mike Clay's been all over the stat in terms of offensive touchdowns scored by the Titans since he took over as a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
It's basically Baltimore level of production. So
tend to happen. Since week four, top 10, the Saints are top 10 in terms of most fantasy points allowed to the opposing quarterback. Again, they played really well last week at home against Jacoby Brissett. But yeah, I mean, I think Tannehill has a, you know, top 10-ish day, maybe a little bit lower than normal. But if you have Ryan Tannehill on your team and you're in the finals, chances are you got there because of him. I would ride him again.
So Darius Slayton had a quiet week this past week. Are you going back to him or are you benching Darius Slayton? It's a matchup that I think we are all in favor of. He's playing at the Redskins. He's actually the fourth most common wide receiver on ESPN
title games.
He has been really, really solid. And some of that's a matter of when a player rises to relevance, right? He rises late, a bunch of people add him, he pushes them over the top. But can you play him this weekend, Matthew, after what we saw this past week?
Look, you can play him, but I think you certainly have some cause for concern. Now, the Redskins secondary is banged up, okay? So that's helpful. Right, we'll see. But like Landon Collins, Quentin Dunbar, they're banged up. You know, there's a chance they miss this game. So that would be beneficial to Darius Slayton, right? And you know, Daniel Jones looks like he's going to make his start here against the Darius. You know, and he's had a connection with Slayton in the past. So I think Daniel Jones being under center is beneficial to Darius Slayton as well. Redskins allow opponents to complete over 68% of their passes. It is the fourth highest rate in the NFL. Eight different times this year, a wide receiver has scored over 18.5 fantasy points against the Redskins, and that includes Greg Ward, AAF superstar Greg Ward, last week. So my expectation here is that a wide receiver has a big game against the Redskins. The question is it Golden Tate? Is it Sterling Shepard? Is it Darius Slayton? Yeah. So if someone does, look, I ranked him 34, so I'm the highest on him among the three of us, but that's still wide receiver 4 territory. So I think it just depends on what other options you have.
Yeah, let's just be honest. This is the complexity of fantasy football.
Yeah.
Darius Slayton could have one catch for 18 yards on Sunday, and we wouldn't be totally stunned. He could have six catches for 140 yards and a touchdown on Sunday, and nobody would be surprised. There hasn't been a true sort of trail that you can follow week to week and say, here are the opportunities in which Darius Slayton really prevails. So if you are confident, if you're a Giants fan, if you're playing somebody who's got a very, very strong team and you feel like you need a player that can get you 30 and not a guy that can get you 10 or 12, then Darius Slayton fits the bill, understanding that he might get you 2 points as well. We're going to come back in just a minute and talk about some of the players that make Matthew's love and hate column this week. But before we do that, a reminder, don't be this guy.
He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
All right, Matthew, your love-hate is posted for the week. Goes up every Thursday, and let's just get the bad stuff out of the way. Let's get to our hates first, or, well, your hates. And you don't like guys that are great at their job. You don't like guys that have been amongst the best ever.
I don't love their matchups. That's correct.
Yeah, whatever. I know it's personal. Aaron Rodgers, we begin there. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers go to Minnesota. I'm thankful this game is inside because it's cold out this time of the year, especially in Minnesota. Aaron Rodgers makes the hate list this week, Matthew. As a matter of fact, if Stefania and I were to write the column, A, it'd probably be better, and B, we'd probably also have Aaron Rodgers on the hate list because all of us have him inside the top 10.
I'm just saying. By the way, if you guys are volunteering to write the column every week.
Well, Field already did it once for you.
He already did it once this week, this year. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm like,
I was.
I'm
was
ruled
great,
out
right?
by
Do you guys see the Pulitzer nomination I got or no?
Yeah, it was amazing. What's weird is that.
What award was that?
The weird part is.
Remember, Matthew? What was that called? The award?
The Pulitzer?
The Pulitzer, right?
Pulitzer? Is that what you call it? Yeah. Pulitzer? Pulitzer? Yeah. All I know is Keith told me that because you
the College Station pronunciation.
Yeah, the column you guys wrote. You wrote it with Tristan Cockcroft and Matt Bowen. Yeah. And the weird part is that Keith told me that the section you wrote was the highest clicked on section of love hate for the entire year. It's weird. Right. They sort of ignored Tristan and Matt's version, but your section specifically boomed in a big, big way.
Yeah.
And what's weird, Keith, is I think it's time we should announce this. Field's going to write love hate all next year. He's going to, in addition to the free agent finds column, he has agreed to do that. And that's amazing. I'm really happy for you.
I'm a magnanimous foe.
You really are.
One part of that agreement we should also include is that a portion of Matthew's salary will also be transferred to Field Yates.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't agree to that.
we can't have you run everything.
I should, for the win.
I
got to start reading my emails. I got to start returning my agent's calls. That is not good.
How about you talk about Aaron Rodgers?
I will talk about Aaron Rodgers. I will. All right. So listen, Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the position, but he does make the hate list this week, Field, and I'm concerned about him on Monday night. One time in the past six games, Aaron Rodgers has been a top 20 quarterback, has been better than QB 20 once in six games. Here's an unbelievable stat. Since week nine, week nine, that's when Davante Adams came back from injury. So I think it's fair to judge from that standpoint. Since week nine, when Davante Adams returned to the lineup, there have been 34 different quarterbacks in the NFL that have passed for at least 250 passing yards in one game. Aaron Rodgers is not on that list.
Oh, I was going to say, how many times did Rodgers do it?
No. You think about what Mike Zimmer has done with the Vikings, and he has traditionally kind of had Aaron Rodgers' number. Rodgers has struggled against Mike Zimmer. He has never thrown for more than 213 yards at Minnesota with Mike Zimmer as the coach. The last time he had multiple passing touchdowns at Minnesota was 2015. And so in a run-heavy offense, which is what the Packers have become this week, this year, I should say, yeah, I have Aaron Rodgers outside my top 12 for the week.
Two for the price of one, Le'Veon Bell going playing against Pittsburgh, I should say. And then the player who has replaced Le'Veon Bell, James Conner for the Steelers against the Jets, Matthew, both of them make your hate list this week.
Well, James Conner does not make my hate list, actually, I should say. Just to be clear on that, James Conner is not on my hate list, but Le'Veon Bell is. So here's the concern on Le'Veon Bell, right? Right? Think about this. Since week four, it's a tough matchup with the Steelers, right? Since week four, Steelers have allowed the fourth fewest red zone drives per game, the fewest fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. And the Jets, by the way, as an offense, have been really slow-paced. They average the worst They average 2.1 red zone drives per game, right? And so the Jets, that's the lowest in the NFL. Like, they're getting to the red zone basically twice a game. So it's hard to score, you know. So in essence, basically, the only way Le'Veon Bell scores in this game is in the red zone because he does not have a rush over 20 yards this entire year.
Correct.
The big plays have not been there for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
And so the question is, like, do they get into the end zone, and is it him? Remember, Kareem Hunt, the only running back to get more than 14 fantasy points a game against Pittsburgh this season. Both teams are bottom 10 in the NFL in terms of pace of play, so I think it's a slow-paced game. I think it's a little bit of a slugfest here. Le'Veon Bell returning to Pittsburgh, and it's, you know, we always talk about sort of
not
revenge game. The game's in New York, right? He faces his former team. What I would say here is that we talk about revenge games, right? You know, and it's a little bit of narrative and whatever. But I think this is a revenge game for the Steelers defense. Yeah, I think there are very bitter feelings in Pittsburgh around Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I mean, he's got no juice. That's the important part, right?
Yes.
I mean, you said no 20-yard runs. Like, he's going to have to get 25 carries or 25 touches. He's going to have 8 catches for this to be a dominant fantasy outing. I'd actually be okay with James Conner being on the hate list, by the way. The Jets do a couple of things well, and one of them is defend the run. That has been a strength of theirs. Plus, the Steelers are still utilizing a lot of other guys in the backfield. It's not just James Conner, who I think is fully off the injury report this week, Stefania. Even if he's not, we know he's going to play. Yeah. One more here, Matthew.
I have James Conner ranked ahead of Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. Fair.
What do you think?
You want to board bet that? Is that what you're trying to say?
I was just trying to say. If, like,
he's trying to goad you into that.
How about this? I say Le'Veon Bell has more fantasy points than James Conner on Sunday.
I say James Conner has more fantasy points than Le'Veon Bell on Sunday. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
We should have at least one. It's our last Friday show. Yeah. I have James Conner at 23. I have Le'Veon Bell at 25. I don't feel strongly about that. But
neither do I, which is what makes it fun.
YOLO.
Odell Beckham Jr. also makes the hate list, Matthew. Of course, the last time the Browns and Ravens played, the Browns, first of all, waxed the Ravens, which feels like an eternity ago. It's also the Marlon Humphrey, Odell Beckham fisticuffs. Yeah. Was there a choking incident or was there not? It may not matter on Sunday. The Ravens might just dominate them, and that's part of the reason why you have Odell on the hate list this week.
He's been bad. I mean, he just, in terms of relative to expectations, he's been bad this year. And you think about the way to attack the Baltimore Ravens. They've been so good against perimeter wide receivers. Here's the top three scoring wide receivers against the Ravens this entire season.
Okay.
Jamison Crowder, Jarvis Landry, and Mohamed Sanu. Can you tell me what they have in common?
I would think you're going to say they're slot players.
They are all slot players.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry, but less so, but sure.
But against them, that's what he did.
Gotcha.
I mean, the game against the Ravens, I mean, he was playing the slot much more than Beckham was. You know, I mean, they move Landry around a decent amount. They move Sanu around as well. But the expectation here is that the Ravens are really good against the perimeter. They're really good against the deep ball. If there is a place to attack them, it is with the slot. I mean, we think about the Jamison Crowder game on that Thursday night, right? We think about, you know, like Cole Beasley had a decent game against them, right? I mean, like, if there's a place to attack them, it is certainly underneath with slot routes. Now, could they do that with Beckham? Of course they could, but Beckham just hasn't been getting a ton of end zone targets. He's only got 10 on the year. He's only caught one of them. He's just been bad. 2 for 20 the last time we played the Ravens. You mentioned the Marlon Humphrey game. And so I don't know that there's nothing about what Odell Beckham Jr. has done this year or what the Ravens defense has done this year that makes you feel good about this matchup.
Matthew, I have no retort. I agree with what you were saying. There are a lot of people that probably feel the exact same way. It's been a tough go for Odell this season. Although
if you're
he says
in the finals,
he's back
what?
Next year.
Oh,
he says he'll be back next year. We'll see whether that actually comes to life.
Well, and we'll see if the coaching staff is too. But because it's obviously been a very disappointing year for the entire offense. The question here, though, is what I was going to say is like, if you're in the finals, you're there in spite of Odell Beckham Jr., in spite of using a first or second round pick on OBJ.
Not because of him.
So, there you go.
So those are the players that make the hate list this week. Let's get over to the positive side. You, Mr.
Sure.
Poly Positive, Mr.
Absolutely.
Matthew Berry, TM Happiness. Brashad Perryman makes your love list for the week. I mean, someone's got to catch passes for Jameis, right?
Dude, he's had at least 70 yards in 3 straight games, 9 different times this year. a Tampa Bay wide receiver has finished top six at the position.
Okay.
And so, again, you sort of think about, like, well, it's not going to be Chris Godwin, not going to be Mike Evans, not even going to be Scotty Miller.
Right.
To your point, somebody has to catch the ball. If you took – this is a funky stat, but I sort of love it, just to give you an idea of how explosive this offense has been for fantasy. If you took the top fantasy wide receiver in every game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's been different guys, different weeks.
Okay.
But if you just said, I'm taking the whoever finishes with the most fantasy points of the Buccaneers, and I'm making that guy into one player, right? If you did that, it's a little bit of funky math, but go with me here. That player would have 391 fantasy points this year.
Sure.
Give you a comparison. Michael Thomas has 335.
Right.
Like 60 points better than Michael Thomas. And so you're like, okay, we expect the number one wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to have a very good fantasy day. So who's going to be the number one wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Number one pass catcher. Could it be Cameron Brady or O.J. Howard? Sure. Could it be Justin Watson? Yeah, maybe. But the most likely scenario here is that it's Rashad Perriman, who not only has 70 yards in three straight, but has at least five targets in those three games.
Yeah.
So the other thing is that I would just say is, it's like, listen, even though they don't have Godwin and Evans, and that is a downgrade, they're not going to change their offense. Their offense is what it is. They take shots deep. And so you're like, who are they taking shots deep to that are going to line up for them on Saturday? Rashad Perriman.
He certainly will be the guy. It will be just a fitting finish to the season if Perriman has a wonderful Saturday for the Bucs. They have to throw it. And Jameis needs 414 passing yards to set the NFL record for most passing yards in a three-game stretch. It's currently held by Tom Brady, who went for a bonkers number of yards back in 2011. Will Jameis get there? Yes or no?
I say yeah. I mean, look, you know what I mean? Like, look, because the matchup lines up perfectly.
Sure, of course.
I mean, the Texans are, you know, they're a bottom 12 pass defense, as we talked about that. They allow touchdown to catches to wide receivers at the 10th highest rate. One of the ways you can really beat them is on the deep pass.
I feel the same way.
Their deficiencies match up well with what the Buccaneers do well here. Now,
and
everyone's on Rashad Perriman to watch him go 2 for 25. Like, you
let's
know,
not forget, and Jameis broke his finger. He's going to be better.
There you go. Well, here's
his
the thing.
Thumb. His thumb, to be
There's
fair.
There's no rhyme or reason.
None.
Correct. To the Buccaneers or Jameis. This seems like it should
Darius
be a great
Slayton.
Matchup,
yes.
But Jameis could throw 204 picks and yes, finish his, wide,
implode,
his quarterback.
No question about that.
23. You live by the Jameis, you die by the Jameis, but I think you have to roll him out there. And, you know, listen, I just mentioned, I told you guys, I'm most likely starting Perriman in a very important final for me.
Terry McLaurin is your wide receiver 21 for the week. Matthew, he's been awesome of late for the Redskins after sort of a mid-season slump, not a course of his own doing, but because the quarterback play was poor.
Yeah, look, I'm as a borderline top 20 play in this one. From Dwayne Haskins so far this year, he's a 20% target share, scored in the last 2 weeks. Now, realize that the way he scored was on a ridiculous one-handed catch that was behind him.
Right.
And then basically, I want to say it was like a 75-yarder or something like that when Avonte Maddox basically took a wrong angle and, you know, McLaurin was off to the
that's
races.
That's part of football, though.
But that's part of football, and that's part of his skill set. He is that fast. And against the Giants, who allow touchdown catches to wide receivers at the second highest rate, who allow the fourth most yards per game to opposing wide receivers, who've allowed an NFL high 14 deep touchdown receptions, 15 yards or more. Yeah, give me some Terry McLaurin this week. And in fact, I'll even say Steven Sims. Steven Sims, if you're like, I'm desperate, or you want like a dirt cheap guy, in DFS this week. Steven Sims, like, so Paul Richardson, Trey Quinn, they're all out.
IR, yeah.
Steven Sims has 9 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown his last 2 weeks. He's gotten 18 targets the last 2 weeks. And again, we just talked about this with Dunbar and Collins banged up. I expect this guy to be a kind of a sneaky shootout game because you've got two functional offenses and two bad defenses. Haskins has looked better. It hasn't always been rosy, but he does feel like he's getting more comfortable in the pocket as the games progress here. He's been looking for Terry McLaurin. It's a little risky, sure, but yeah, I'm in on Terry McLaurin this week.
When you're a tight end that faces the Cardinals, you have a 50-50 shot of making Matthews Loveless, which is where Jacob Hollister winds up this week because the Seahawks play the Cardinals.
14 games the Cardinals have played so far this year, they've allowed 15 touchdowns to tight ends.
It's amazing.
At least one tight end touchdown in 11 of 14 games this year. Hollister's averaging over 6 targets a game since week 9. So he's more involved in the passing game than you might think. He's out there in a decent amount of leagues, right?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And by the way, the league we talked about, the Breshad, where I'm going to have to start Breshad Perriman. So I'm playing Graham Barfield. It's a dynasty league. He's got Jacob Hollister. So you know he's going to go off field. Yeah, it's the rule. Not.
If you played enough leagues, single player in the league is playing against you.
I played in 16 leagues. Is that enough?
16 team leagues?
Well, so two of them were the Vampire Leagues. You don't really count those. Those are goofy. But I played in 14 real leagues.
That explains a lot to me.
Yeah, there you go.
It really does. Yeah.
I played in 14 leagues. There's a little too much.
Jacob Hollister, Matthew, I got to cut down next year.
I'm in on Jacob Hollister. I'm as a top 10 play, by the way. He's available in 53% of ESPN leagues. Look, it's shooting fish in a barrel, but doesn't mean it's wrong. If you need to stream a tight end, start the one playing the Arizona Cardinals.
Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
All the time.
Stevani and I were talking about it last night for like an hour.
Wow, that's so crazy. It's as if they're so big, they can get away with not caring about the customer experience.
Right? That was Stefania's big complaint.
With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way.
There is?
Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd.
Nice.
SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web, then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. Green dots are like the players that make the love list. Red dots are like the players that make the hate list. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. So we've been talking about players that might give you a chance this weekend. You need them in the fantasy playoffs, in the fantasy finals. So Kyle tasked us with finding a player ranked outside of the top 20 at running back or wide receiver that you think is a reasonable flex that you could feel confident about. So we begin with you, Matthew, and your answer is Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I ranked him as running back 24, but I think he's a viable play. 5 of the 6 games he's played in since he has joined the Cleveland Browns, he's been a top 17 fantasy running back here. Opponents complete passes to running backs against the Ravens at the 5th highest rate, which sort of makes sense, by the way. They bring pressure really well. They defend the deep ball really well. So you're looking around. What do you got to do? You got to dump it off to the running back, right? Sure. And so Kareem Hunt, who has run 134 routes compared to just 88 for Nick Chubb since he's been back in week 10, he has 36 targets compared to 14. He's 30 catches compared to 10. Like, he's their pass-catching running back here, and he's somebody that gets a decent amount of work, especially because, look, honestly, we think Baltimore wins this game. I know Cleveland came in and sort of...
It's like, going on kind of on a limb, but yeah, I'll give it to you. I know.
Thank you very much. I like to make the bold calls. But, right, so, I mean, like, I know Cleveland went in there and punched him in the mouth earlier in the year, but I think different season for both guys and both teams, and so my expectation here is that the Ravens win this game, the Browns are down, which means they're going to throw, and when they're throwing, Kareem Hunt is on the field. I have Kareem Hunt as a very viable flex play this week. He's been nothing short of terrific since coming back for Cleveland, one of the few bright spots of the Browns' offense this year.
I like Mike Williams this week a lot, and IBM Watson has its insight of the week regarding Mike Williams, who carries a nice 19-point ceiling this week, but also a low 7.1-point floor. IBM Watson gives him a better chance to boom than bust this week, and I tell you what, I agree. He's been hot. Over the past couple of weeks, he scored in back-to-back games for the Chargers. Remember, before that, he had not scored at all this season, so it felt like it took a while for the engines to rev for our friend Mike Williams, but he saw a season-high 6 deep targets last week. That was against the Vikings. The Raiders have been vulnerable down the field all season. Heck, they're vulnerable against the pass in general, no matter whether it's down the field, in the short passing game, in the intermediate passing game. Mike Williams, really talented guy who has put it together over the past couple of weeks for the Chargers, and no matter what the Chargers do, you know there's always going to be some nonsense and some goofiness. They'll find a way to have to throw the football late in this game. It's just how things work with the Chargers.
It is how things work, and I think the most important point that you did not mention here about Mike Williams
You're playing against him.
I'm playing against him.
Right.
Scott Clark, so you know he's going to go off. Scott Clark has him in the War Room League final. Stefania. He's going to Scott Clark me with stupid Mike Williams. But I agree with you.
Stefania, yeah. Let's get to Anthony Miller here. He's been so good for the Bears of late.
Yeah. Anthony Miller is just, I took a shot on him in one of our leagues because I was like, when Taylor Gabriel went out with a concussion. And I thought, let's see what Anthony Miller does. And Anthony Miller's been pretty much on fire in the absence of Taylor Gabriel. 6 or more receptions in 4 of the last 5 weeks, averaging over 86 yards per game over the last month, touchdown reception in the last 2 games. And he's been, guys, he was off the radar. He was in the 90s as wide receiver the first 11 weeks of the season. He's been wide receiver 8 since then.
Wow.
So obviously he's been putting up big numbers. He's helped me out a number of weeks. I had him ranked a little bit lower originally because I thought there might be a chance Taylor Gabriel would come back. He is not. He's still not practicing because of the concussion issue. So I have him ranked at 31, but I think he's got as much a chance as any is to have a big role for the Bears.
And by the way, you look at he made my love list as well this week. You look at how Kansas City defends teams. They've been really good this year against perimeter wide receivers. They have struggled as of late against slot receivers. And so Anthony Miller, who obviously spends a lot of time out of the slot, I think there's a chance that he actually winds up being the best fantasy wide receiver for the Bears on Sunday night.
Are you playing against him in any leagues, please?
I don't think I am. I have to look.
I don't think I am.
I actually,
if he did,
I'm in six, he'd go off. I'm in 6 finals. There's two that I really care about.
Okay.
I mean, well, listen, we talked about this. 14 leagues, wound up in 6 finals. There's two of the six I really care about. So,
yes, one of them is against Scott Clark.
One of them is against Scott Clark. That is correct. So we will see. Watch me go 4-2, and the two that I lose will be the two that I care about. What are you going to do?
He's Field Yates.
Time now for Field and Stream.
Field and Stream.
How could you forget that that was
for the whole week? Sorry.
That was amazing.
You gotta remind me on that one. Someone's gotta give me that heads up. That's my bad. Time now for Field and Stream. It's been a whole week since we did
the award-winning segment.
Bunch of players that are 3 players, or in this case, 1 player and 2 defenses that are available in over 50% of leagues, and players that I like for week 16 specifically. And it's been a while since we have talked about Anthony Miller of the Bears. More seriously, Stefania doubling down on the thought of Anthony Miller. He's got 33 catches since week 11. Only Michael Thomas has more amongst wide receivers. His target share has been awesome. Anthony Miller looks like a keeper. But let's get to the defense. That's kind of the meat of this segment most weeks. And the Broncos are available in 81% of leagues, and they play the Lions, who over the past 2 weeks have surrendered 29 fantasy points to opposing defenses. The Vikings had 14 2 weeks ago. The Bucks had 15 last week, both good enough to finish as top 4 options at the position. It's just been tough sledding right now. David Blau is the continued starting quarterback with Matthew Stafford now on IR. Marvin Jones is out. Even if they do get Kerryon Johnson back, still a limited offensive crew, the Broncos certainly fit that bill. The Colts, by the way, they're available in about 58% of leagues. And Indy's defense struggled this past week. Obviously, they got breezed. That being said, they play the Carolina Panthers. And Will Greer is making his NFL starting debut. He's their 3rd-round pick out of West Virginia. He is the brother of a bunch of social media stars. He played at Florida and then West Virginia. Either way, it's his first career start. A little bit weary about his outlook for Sunday. The only hope I have for Will Greer is that he gives the football to Christian McCaffrey a lot to help him set some records. But the Colts defense is a reasonable stream for me this week. That's it.
Can I add one more defense to Field and Stream? I know it's called Field and Stream.
At this point, why not? Sure, yeah. Field and Stream with some berries on top. What do you
there
got?
There you go. I like it. Well, I was just going to mention the Chiefs defense, which is out there in 60% of leagues. They've had double-digit fantasy points in 4 straight games. Mitch has played better, but he's still Mitch, right? You know, and so you figure cold weather game. Now, the game is in Chicago as well, but this one feels like it, you know, could be pretty low scoring. Over-under is 44, which you think a Chiefs game with an over-under of 44.5. So, I kind of like the Chiefs defense here. as a streamer as well. I don't think people realize how well they've played recently.
On Sunday, we have fantasy football
and Terrell Suggs, right? And Terrell Suggs making his debut. He's going to play, right?
For the Chiefs, correct? Fantasy football now, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. All the latest information, injury reports, and of course, recaps, because you need to set your lineup tomorrow morning. Do it before 1 p.m. Eastern time, because there are three games tomorrow night. It begins with the Bucks and the Houston Texans for Stefania B87 on Instagram and Stefania _ESPN on Twitter, Matthew Berry TMR, all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app, where he's just at Matthew Berry.
That's correct.
I am at Field Yates. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. In the meantime, time for us to our Secret Santa. Talk to you
later. Peace out! Ho, ho, ho.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. With advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a coach, she's your favorite gal. She's the fun you pick.